The scripture I'm going to read for you this morning in just a moment is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, page 1161 in the Pew Bible. Jesse Jackson told about a time that he was visiting the University of Southern Mississippi. While touring the campus with the university president, Jackson notices a male student about 6'8" tall, holding hands with a female student who's barely 3 feet tall. Jackson watches as the young man tenderly picks the girl up, kisses her on the forehead, and sends her off to class. The university president explains that this young man is a star basketball player. His parents died, and he vowed that he would take care of his sister. Many basketball scholarships came his way, but only Southern Miss offered one for his sister also. Jesse Jackson goes over to this young man and tells him how impressed he is with the way he's taking care of his sister. The tall athlete just shrugs and says, "Those of us that God makes 6'8" have to look out for those he makes only 3'3". It's like that in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have to look out for each other spiritually. And in the scripture we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul describes one of the ways that God helps us to do that, by giving us teachers of the word who strengthen us in our life in Christ so that we can strengthen each other. Hear God's word to us from Ephesians 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." The Apostle Paul tells us in this scripture that God has given grace to each of his children. Grace is God's kindness to us, his favor that comes to us through Jesus Christ so that our sins can be forgiven. In this passage, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that we've also been graced by Christ in particular ways so that we can help to build up his body. Where does that grace come from? In the scripture we've just read, the Apostle Paul is borrowing from Psalm 68, which pictures God marching in triumph after the Exodus. And he makes a parallel with First Covenant Israel in the wilderness with the church, who is his body. Just as God gave Israel in the wilderness what they needed so that they could love God and follow God, so God also gives to his church what they need in the wilderness to love God and to follow him. He portrays it as Jesus defeating our spiritual enemies and then taking what held us as prisoner, our sin, and making it his captive. Jesus has won the ultimate victory so that we could become his children. But he doesn't just give us that victory and leave us alone. He continues to grace us so that we have everything we need in this life to follow him faithfully. How did he do that? The Apostle Paul describes Jesus descending when he became a human being. And then he portrays Jesus descending even further when he died as a human being and went into the grave. But then 3 days later, he ascended when he was resurrected from the dead. And now he has ascended even further. He sits at the right hand of God, showing that his sacrifice was accepted by God and that it was complete and perfect to cover our sins. So now Jesus is a conquering king. But even though he's no longer physically present here on this earth, he is still with us. And one of the ways he demonstrates that is that he gives grace to his children, grace to help us live in this world, grace to help us love our brothers and sisters here at Talcottville Congregational Church. What is this grace that God gives to his children to help us follow him? In verse 11, the Apostle Paul focuses on gifted people that Jesus gives to his church. Look again at what he says in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Paul has already written at the end of Ephesians chapter 2 that the apostles and the prophets have formed the foundation for the church through their teaching about Christ. And then they're writing down that teaching about Christ so that it could be spread even up to our day. The apostles were those 12 men chosen personally and deliberately by Jesus to be witnesses to his resurrection. The prophets were other people that preached the message about Christ along with the apostles. And Paul has mentioned in chapter 2 that the apostles and prophets were given to the church to get the church established, to spread the good news about Jesus. But now their roles in the church are no longer needed because they've been taken over by the New Covenant Scriptures, which we are able to read today. But still, Jesus doesn't leave his church alone. He gives gifts to his church to help us to continue to follow him in this world. And so to each subsequent generation, he gives evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Evangelists are those who are gifted in helping people who don't know Christ understand who Jesus is. They are gifted at explaining the message about Christ in ways that can make sense to someone who's never heard it before. I think evangelists are also gifted to help those of us who already know Christ, and maybe especially those of us who are a little fearful about talking about our faith with other people. And they help us find ways to lean into the courage that Christ gives to us. And so evangelists are one of Jesus' gifts to his church to help us follow him in this world. But he also gives us pastors who are basically shepherds. Sometimes shepherds have to kick the sheep in the behind to get them moving. Sometimes shepherds use their strength to protect the sheep and nurture them. And in ways like that, God has given this gift to us through his son Jesus to gently nurture us, to sometimes more strongly encourage us, but to help us to follow Christ in this world. And then he also gives others who teach us the scriptures and remind us what is true from the word about Christ and the good news about Jesus. So all of these gifts that Jesus gives to his church to help us in this world are people who proclaim, announce, and teach the Bible. So how do they help the church grow? When people like you and I learn from them, and then we take what we learn from them, and we announce, and we proclaim, and we teach the news about Jesus to one another. So these gifts are given, and these gifted people are given, to help you and I grow up in Christ, so that we will become more mature in Christ, so that our confidence in what Jesus has done for us will continue to deepen, and our devotion to Jesus will grow. In that sense, then, the church, the body of Christ, is a place that Paul's envisioning where everyone, in one way or another, is responding to the teaching from Scripture, the truth and the good news about who Jesus is. Someone once wrote that the church is not like a bus. You envision a bus, the pastor is sitting up front, and he's doing all the driving. Meanwhile, the congregation is sitting in the back of the bus, and we're all peacefully resting and just enjoying the scenery or enjoying a little catnap. Instead, what Paul is portraying here is that the church is a living, growing body made up of people. And yes, the pastors and shepherds and evangelists and teachers have particular roles, but each of us also has a role to minister to and shepherd and encourage one another and not just hang on for the ride. So it is a body created by Christ. And yes, those in the formal shepherding roles help each one of us to shepherd one another as we grow up into Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if when you first come to faith in Jesus, God waves a magic wand over you, or maybe sprinkles a little pixie dust on you, and automatically, instantaneously, you never want to disobey Jesus. You perfectly love every brother and sister that you go to church with, even the really difficult, thorny ones. No sin, no thoughts of sin. And you perfectly follow Christ for the rest of your days here on this earth. That would be awesome. But God has chosen a different way. And what Paul is reminding us in this scripture is that God has chosen a slow, deliberate process to change each of us into the image of Christ. So one interaction at a time with the truth of Scripture is meant to change us, to move us, to modify our motivations. And each time we are shepherded in the Word, our hearts are meant to soften a little bit more and be a little more inclined to want to follow Jesus in this world. It's not as impressive as snapping your fingers or waving a magic wand. It's not as quick as we would sometimes like it to be. But it is what God has put us in a church for, that as the formal official shepherds teach us from the Word, we receive that teaching. We shepherd our own souls, and then we shepherd each other. And together, we are all growing up into Christ. So we are not meant to sleep peacefully on the bus. And sometimes, unfortunately, church, the one place you think should be peaceful and restful and holy and a little slice of heaven, sometimes it can seem the exact opposite, totally not peaceful, totally filled with turmoil and struggle and challenges. And yet, this is the way God has chosen to work in all of us who are his children, through the imperfect lives of each other, through the shepherding of the shepherds who teach us from his word and encourage us to keep following Jesus. So you and I should not be sleeping. You and I should not be staying away from church because it is difficult. We are each called to be disciplers, to be shepherds of one another, just as we are shepherded. So this ministry isn't just Pastors Greg and Jared up in the front of the bus. This ministry is for every one of us who knows Jesus, to minister to and encourage and shepherd one another. So that means when we're in church, one of our missions is to listen better to the Word, whether it's in a sermon, a Bible study, an informal discussion over the pew. Pay attention to these words of life recorded by Jesus' apostles, because each one of them gives us wisdom to live life in this world. Each one of them can give us wisdom and courage to love a brother or sister who maybe isn't so lovely at that particular moment in their life. And so it helps us to think church is not a place to come and take a nap. Church is a place to grow up into Christ and to learn to follow him more faithfully. So what will happen if the pastors, shepherds, teachers, and each of us are involved in this mutual shepherding ministry? One word that Paul uses, maturity, growth, growing up in Christ. Christians all working together so that each of us is growing toward the day when we will be in the presence of Christ. Listen again to how Paul says that in verse 12. He gives these gifted people to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul is saying each interaction we have with God's word helps us grow in our devotion to Jesus. Each time we humble ourselves before the word as we read it, helps us to understand, maybe there's a better way I need to follow Jesus. Each time we have the opportunity to hear a sermon or a teaching in church, it helps us to see, here's where I'm not seeing quite clearly how to love that brother or sister that lately I've been avoiding. And so every interaction with the word is important for our maturity as God's children. Every interaction with his word is important to shepherd our hearts, to grow up more into Christ, and then to shepherd each other, to grow up into Christ. And when we come to the point where our desire to help someone else with how we have been helped and encouraged grows, that's a good sign that we are starting to mature in Christ. When we don't just think, how can this help me? But we think, how do I need to humble myself and minister to someone else? And that's the maturity that Paul is after. That's why God, through Christ, has given his church gifted teachers of the word to shepherd us toward those ideals as we interact with one another. That's why our pastor, Pastor Greg, works every week to teach us the word, because we need wisdom from God. We need wisdom that we will find nowhere else but here in the scriptures that God has inspired through his apostles. So how long does this mutual shepherding go on? Because sometimes maybe you try to minister to a person and it seems like no matter how sweet you are, no matter how winsome you are, no matter how wise you are, when you help them to think about scripture, they just don't seem to get it. In fact, sometimes they seem to get worse. So how long do I have to shepherd my brother or sister? I can tell you as an insider, sometimes pastors wonder that. How long do I have to shepherd this flock until they're going to get it? And Paul says we do it throughout this whole life, until we all attain to the measure of the fullness of Christ. And that won't happen until we are in the presence of Christ. So until that day, which means every day you live on this earth, every day you're riding in the back of the bus, every day you're here in church on a Sunday morning, we are called to this ministry of faithfully shepherding one another with the word, even if it seems discouraging. Because even if that person you're trying to shepherd isn't getting it, ideally, God is changing you through that process because you are growing in humility. And hopefully you're starting to go, it's not about me. It's not about how wise I am. I just need to be more humble and patient because that's exactly how God loves me. And then you become more like Christ as you love your imperfect brothers and sisters. So through this whole life, we are called to this mutual shepherding ministry. But there's also a dangerous reason why this is so important. And that's what Paul alludes to in verse 14. He compares Christians to children who haven't fully grown up yet. So think about your children. When they're at a certain age, they think their parents are the wisest people on the planet. I'll always remember the first time my son, I can't remember his age, but realized his dad wasn't perfect. And all children finally come to that realization. Or maybe think of your children when they're really, really little. They will grab anything they can find and stick it in their mouth. What is this all about? Paul compares believers in Christ to children like that, who have not yet fully grown up and are continuing to grow and mature through responding to God's word. We are like those children, spiritually, who can be just as gullible as a two-year-old who sticks their finger in a light socket and doesn't know any better. But we will be less likely to believe spiritually harmful things as we are being shepherded by the truth of Scripture, and as we are willingly receiving it from God and from those he has gifted to teach us. And then we take that teaching and we shepherd each other toward the truth in Christ. So while we're sitting in the back of the bus, we have conversations with one another. Here's how God is challenging me through this scripture. Or here's a way I'm being tempted to doubt this scripture. What advice would you have for me as God's child? Look exactly at how Paul says it in verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Here's what Paul is saying to us in this scripture. As spiritual infants, which describes every one of us in Christ, you are being discipled by someone or something or some idea. And just because you're in the bus labeled church, or just because you're in a church on Sunday morning, doesn't mean your teachers are leading you to follow Christ. We need wisdom from the Word to help us know, who am I really following? Who are the people that really have my attention? What ideas really motivate me? It would be wonderful if God had a pixie dust that he gave to us as soon as we came to faith in Christ. And then every thought we had, every ministry we committed to, every way we moved toward a brother or sister to shepherd them was laced with the love of Christ. And we never did anything from selfish motivations. Paul says one day, that day will come. The pixie dust is the new creation when we will forever be in the presence of Christ. And then we will attain to the fullness of Christ. But until then, we are spiritual infants. We need wisdom from scriptures. We need wisdom from our brothers and sisters to say, hey, I know you're really motivated by that, and you say it loudly to everyone you talk to after church, but have you considered that idea may not actually be faithful to the teaching of the apostles and the scriptures? And in those ways, we move each other toward maturity in Christ and away from spiritual infancy. But we need to do that to each other constantly, because there are so many voices out there. And even if they speak some truth, they all ultimately come from one place. Humans determine what is true. Humans determine their own destiny. And the Word of God says the exact opposite. God and God alone determines your destiny. God and God alone is the arbiter of what is truly true and worth following in this word. That's why we need to shepherd each other. That's why we need to be shepherded in his word, because otherwise we are spiritual children who will stick everything we hear or read in our mouths and not even realize how much harm it is doing to our souls. Paul calls that ministry that we have to one another in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, saying the truth about Christ to one another as we have been receiving it from the scriptures. So that would include speaking. Sometimes it just includes doing, living humbly before a brother or sister, showing them what the love of Christ is like by the way we love them, and we bear patiently with them in their imperfections. So Christ, through these gifted teachers he gives us, gives each of us grace to speak the truth of Christ to our own souls, to our brothers and sisters, and yes, even to speak it to people who don't know Jesus, even if we're terrified to do that. We are called to speak gospel truth to each other instead of speaking every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. Instead of passing along the latest email you got from whoever out on the internet, pass along a word that you read in the scriptures. Point someone to the true truth. That is our ministry to one another in the body of Christ. And we are also called to speak gospel truth in love so that we help one another instead of the cunning of false teachers, instead of the deceitfulness of those who are trying to lead our hearts away from Jesus. This is what the people in verse 11 equip you and I to do, to speak gospel truth to one another. And that is the way we grow up into Christ. And every part of the body is called to this ministry. We all have this ministry to each other, to help each other grow up into Christ. Look at how Paul writes that in verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The Apostle Paul is saying this is a really important way that we are called to love each other. And we are all to contribute to this ministry to one another. It isn't just the ministry of pastors or spiritual leaders in the church, although pastors and spiritual leaders should model that and be good examples to follow. But we are all called to shepherd one another in the truth about Christ. Every part of the body, Paul says in verse 16, should be doing this. That's why you should consider coming to church every Sunday that you can be here, because we each need each other's love. We each need each other's encouragement. We spend 167 hours a week listening to garbage, hearing falsehood that portrays itself as truth. But we come here to be renewed and to be refreshed. We need to have this ministry to one another. And you can't have it through the internet. You have to have it face to face, life on life, as they like to say these days. And Paul says everyone is engaged in this ministry. So as you and I each allow the words about Christ, the truth from his word, to change us, it begins to renovate the way we think about our own sin. It begins to renovate the way we think about our imperfect brothers and sisters that we go to church with. It begins to renovate and renew and deepen our thinking about who Jesus is and what he has done. And we take that renewed thinking, and then we encourage one another. Here's what God has been showing me about my sinful heart. Is that something you've ever thought about in your life? And in that way, we knock each other one little nudge closer to the measure of the fullness of Christ, until the day we are in his presence, and we will receive from him directly and immediately, and be ministered to in ways we could only hope for in this life. So what does all of this mean for Churchland USA? Why do we bother coming to church? One of the things this implies is that ministry isn't just Pastor Greg up front, or Priyeshni or Barb at the piano, or Amy or Suzanne leading singing. Ministry is each one of us ministering to one another. Because maybe you don't know how to preach. Maybe you can't play piano. Maybe like me, you can't sing on key to save your life. But you don't need to know how to preach or sing or play music. You just have to be willing to be engaged in someone else's life and tell them how Jesus has been engaged in your life. And that is just as much ministry as our pastor up there, or Priyeshni at the piano, or Amy leading us in singing. And that's the important ministry that Paul is pointing us to here. It could be as simple as church ends, you turn around and talk to someone, and they share a bit of a struggle they've been going through this week. And you say, I'm going to pray for you this week, that God would give you courage as you face that struggle. They came to church this morning a bit discouraged, but they leave a little more encouraged to keep faithfully walking with Christ because of that one little word that you spoke to them. Those moments can be just as important as all the ministry that we see publicly. So these words of Paul can modify all of our attitude as we come to church. Instead of coming to critique the singing, the sermon, the music, the carpet, we come to learn from Christ. Instead of coming saying, I hope it's a good show today, I didn't sleep good last night, we come, I hope there will be a word I hear from Christ that will nourish my soul and give me courage to keep following him. Instead of coming for ourselves, we come and we say, Lord, just give me one thing today that I can take to nourish someone else's spiritual walk and minister to them just as you minister to me. So maybe just think little tiny Bible conversations. You turn around and you say, Pastor Jared's sermon really convicted me today. Here's a thing where I'm really tempted to walk away from Christ. Have you ever struggled with that? And in those little ways, we help each other to think more deeply and deliberately and carefully about Jesus. The teaching of this text means we can come on Sunday to encourage someone else. And okay, let's take a time out. Step away from the text for 30 seconds. The Apostle Paul is not naive. Sometimes human relationships can be really hard, even in church. The people at Talcottville Congregational Church are not perfect. In fact, I have it on good biblical authority that TCC is loaded with sinners. But here's the essence of what the Apostle Paul is saying to us. If you will walk with Jesus, if you will mature in Christ, it will mean loving some imperfect body of his children. And you might as well do it where you are now. You might as well wake up from the back of the bus, look who's sitting next to you, and say, Lord, how can you help me to encourage this brother or sister to keep walking toward you? These words could also modify and deepen our attitudes toward our pastors, Pastor Greg and Pastor Jared, because they are human also. And I also have it on good biblical authority, they are sinners. Don't tell anybody. But it means they are imperfect, and they can't possibly do all the shepherding by themselves that this scripture points us to. So pray for them to stay encouraged in the ministry that God has called them to do. You think it's hard to love that guy who sits next to you at church every week? Imagine being a pastor who has to love 100 people like that. And that should drive you to pray. God, give Greg, give Jared the courage they need to shepherd your saints faithfully. If you're here this morning and you don't yet believe in Jesus, I hope as you interact with some of us that you see a little bit of this willing sacrifice, this mutual ministry, this coming alongside one another for the sake of Jesus. But we are all still learning how to do this, and we don't do it perfectly. If you have come to TCC looking for perfect love, it's not here. But Jesus is here, and his love for you is perfect beyond anything that you can imagine. And if you put your faith and trust in him, then you can experience this grace that Paul is talking about in this scripture. There's a pastor named Miles McPherson who told about a man who was newly converted to Christ in their church. This new believer stands 6'4" and weighs 250 pounds. His body is loaded with tattoos. He wants to do something to serve Jesus. He considers himself not very talented, so he decides to join the knitting ministry. So envision this guy who could be an NFL linebacker. He's going to make hats and blankets for hospitalized children. When Pastor McPherson hears about this, he goes to the guy and says, "Where did you learn to knit?" The man says, "Actually, I don't knit. I crochet. I was in the Hells Angels for 12 years, and I learned to crochet in prison. I know it's one thing that I can do for Jesus." That's what the Apostle Paul is saying to us in this scripture. Take the grace God has given you so that you can encourage someone else to follow Jesus. Would you pray with me? Our Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the teachers that you have given us to shepherd us in your truth. Would you help each of us to be better followers of your word until the day that we enter the fullness of Christ? Amen.